Hello, everyone, and welcome to another preview here on the Cycling Dane Extra channel or on the podcast if you're listening. Make sure to sign up to that. Gent-Wevelgem is the race we're going to be looking at, one of the most exciting races last year if you are a Trian or an Intermarché fan. And today we're going to take a look at that. And I can't do that on my own. As always, we're joined by Mr. Gregor himself, Ewan Wilson. Make sure to follow him on Twitter. And yeah, Ewan, Gent-Wevelgem last year, it was just a historic moment for African cycling.
Exactly that. Gent-Wevelgem in 2022, it really was sort of a watershed moment for our sport. Binyam Girmay taking his first big sort of world tour victory. And he became the first black person to win a World Tour Monument race. That's monumental in itself. So it really was sort of the beginning of what was the Binny hype train that bled into the Giro d'Italia and transpired with a stage win. So looking forward to seeing what's going to happen this year, whether we'll get the same sort of narrative, the same headline and coverage of the race.
Yeah, that is true. He's probably a very marked man, that's for sure, this edition. But yeah, without further ado, Ewan, what lies ahead for the riders here on the one-day race in Gent-Wevelgem in Flanders Field?
Exactly that, in Flanders Field, very important. We will be beginning in Ypres, which for British people, you've almost definitely been here on a school trip at some point in your life. It's a hotspot for history students, as this is home to the Menin Gate, which is one of the biggest World War I memorials you can find in Europe. Also a fantastic museum dedicated to World War I in the city. That's where we begin our voyage. 261 kilometers on the agenda. We actually go up towards the coastline in West Flanders. We go to Verne, which did host the Brugge de Panne Classic earlier in the week. That's probably the closest we get to the sea before turning back inland, almost following parallel to the French border, passing through the city of Pommeringen as well. From there, the cobbles come thick and fast, but there aren't too many kilometers of cobblestones and hills to be taken on the day. There are only 9 notable hills on this stage. And on top of this all, we also have the gravel sector of the Ploegstraat, which will make things interesting, also known for its relevance and importance during World War I for British soldiers. It was known as Plug Streets. And from here, we'll be passing through or passing by a number of World War I cemeteries dedicated to soldiers who died here on the Western Front, all the way towards our final climb of the day at the Kemmelberg, which crests at 35 kilometers to go. From there, we head on to flat roads all the way to Wevelgem to round off the race in what will probably be maybe a little bit of a sprint. We haven't seen a solo victor in Gent-Wevelgem for a while, as it will round out another week of interesting classics racing in Flanders.
Thank you for that, as always, Ewan. And a very exciting race, to say the least. We saw the Dupin race as well, and that was a very exciting addition. We're not going to talk about the winner right now. The first rider here for the favorites is, well, we can't not start with Binyam Girmay. You could say this race was the starting point of Binyam's, well, not relevance, but like trajectory.
Prominence.
Exactly. But you could equally say it was a different race in Flanders as well, the under 23 World Championship. So he has a great correlation with this region. And this year he's picked up a victory already. He's been up there in Tirreno Adriatico, not quite there in the mix for Milan-San Remo. But how do you think Binyam Girmay, added with Mike Chernison as well to the team, will do here?
Yeah, exactly that. Binyam Girmay this year will have a bigger target on his back. Last year he was here as a bit of sort of maverick after the World Championships, moving sort of properly into Intermarché senior team and scoring some good results, particularly at Idrihalbeke a couple days beforehand. Girmay looked fantastic there. And he carried that momentum into Gent-Wevelgem. We are recording this before Idri, so that will leave some asterisks as we don't know how he'll perform. If he performs similar to last year, well, we can assume that momentum will be translated once again into 2023. Also, on top of that, he also rode a pretty solid Paris-Nice in 2022. Tirreno, I don't think, saw the same parallels. He was sort of busting on the climbs, not quite there in contention. In the sprints, he was solid. So if this does end up in a bit of a sprint, then I think he could be in a good position. But if it breaks up over the climbs, I'm not 100% convinced Binyam Girmay will be in that first echelon of riders, if you will. The team this year is a lot stronger. We have Mike Turnerson, as you mentioned, who's just a fantastic classics rider. Hasn't quite been firing this year so far, but his history states that he is very, very strong. Also, Ame de Gent, who's been riding pretty well over the past month. Sven-Erik Boström, similarly, he's been pretty good in the classics as well. And Hugo Pajou could be a good second option for the sprint to the end, the young Frenchman who has been working on his climbing over the past couple months. So I'm pretty optimistic about Antimarché. Don't quite know how it will transpire in the end, whether it will be a race victory or sort of a 5th to 10th place. We'll find out.
Yeah, you're right. He hasn't won the big sprint. The one he won in Alti earlier this year, it wasn't against the big juggernauts who are here. They're really here. And history is also against him in a way, because the last time someone actually defended a race win here was Tom Bonin. Well, fingers crossed for Binnie, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But moving on to another team, or a previous winner, or who do you want to go for, Ewan?
Corrections corner, Fabian Cancellara backed up his victory in 2011.
Wait. Are we on the same race?
Oh, shit. I'm not going to...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm stupid. I'm the one who's incorrect.
Tom Bonin, Fabian Cancellara, same thing. 2012 was when you backed up the 2011 edition.
Yeah.
But another thing I was thinking about as well, this race, it's not the pure sprinters that kind of won this. We don't have a Mark Cavendish on the winners list. We don't have a Marcel Kittel. We don't have no Fabio Jakobsen. That could change potentially. But yeah, what do you think of that, Ewan? Like, Christoph, not the most pure sprinter anymore. Mats Pedersen, definitely not. Wout van Aert, but yeah, arguable. Greg van Avermaet, Peter Sagan, Paulinho, and Degenkolb. Like, it's the hardy men. It's the tough sprinters that can sustain these echelons.
It is a windy race. West Flanders is a particularly windy part of the country. We see it in Brugge de Panne, which is also in West Flanders. We've seen it in Gent-Wevelgem, and it's likely we might see it this weekend as well. I don't have a full weather report here. I'm not going to sort of get my crystal ball out and predict the weather. But I think sprinters nowadays, some of them are hardier, but then some of them are just sort of paint-by-numbers, sort of 3D printed sprinting machines. A bit like a Fabio Jakobsen or Sam Bennett, who I don't think can really weather the storm. But there are a couple of sort of hardier sprinters, like your Wout van Aerts, Jasper Philipsen, who I think could be there in the end. I think this also comes down to a big paradigm shift in cycling. We spoke about it with San Remo as well, about how sort of we're getting smaller and smaller groups competing for the victory at the end of these very, very long days. This is 260 kilometers. It's a fully fledged classic race. I'd be surprised if we have a group bigger than 20 to compete for the victory.
Yeah, you mentioned him there. We might as well talk about one rider who's really on form. Okay, finished 15th at Milan-San Remo, but Jasper Philipsen, the Belgian rider, arguably the best sprinter in the world right now, winning 2 stages at Trenitalia Adriatico, and they have Søren Kauanissen as well in that team opposite De Koninck. And Ewan, do you think the young man from Belgium could potentially win this?
Yeah, I think Philipsen is looking really, really good at the moment. One thing I've been very impressed by recently is his sort of his race savviness. To win a race like Brugge de Panne, you need to have your brain switched on, knowing which moves to follow and knowing where to measure your efforts. And he did that perfectly at that race. And it looks like Alpecin have got big momentum at the moment. It took them a very long time to get their first victory, 3 months, and it came from Jasper Philipsen at Tirreno. And since then, he won another stage there. They won Sanremo, and then they won Brugge de Panne. They've been winning at the World Tour level consistently over the past month, and they've definitely got a strong team to back up this effort, with Søren Kauanissen, who looked brilliant at Milan-San Remo. If he can translate that on this kind of profile, I think he could definitely be there. They're missing a couple of screws, I would say, sort of like Dries de Bont kind of engines, but
Mathieu van der Poel.
Van der Poel, who we believe is going to Idri, but is not going to Gent-Wevelgem, which is another year that he's missed this race. Maybe he's sort of scarred by 2020 Gent-Wevelgem and the disappointment that ensued that year. But yeah, I think Philips is a safe bet, to be honest, for a podium.
Well, we can't mention Mathieu van der Poel without saying Wout van Aert almost. And yeah. Ewan, former champion, that 2021 edition, where he was in that elite group with just some of the most fastest men on the planet. But yeah, and finishing on the podium in Milan-San Remo this year, even though he's not been looking great. And a very strong team around him as well. Christophe Laporte, we saw those two just absolutely destroy Idri last year, and also Olaf Koy, who was very good in the pan.
We did, but where were they at San Remo? They weren't really on the radar, to be honest, which was a bit disappointing that we didn't quite get them in sort of full flight. Laporte in particular this year hasn't quite sort of lit my fire. He was good in the opening weekend at Omloop Nieuwsblad, but apart from that, we sort of been missing Christophe Laporte. Really, that might change at Idri Harelbeke once again on the Friday before Gent-Wevelgem. At the moment, I think Wout is still coming back from his illness or whatever problems he had before. He crashed as well at Tirreno, and he might be missing that top level form. But if he wants to be winning the Big Fish Classic that he mentioned at the beginning of this season, which we assume is Roubaix or Ronde van Vlaanderen, then he needs to be in fighting form at Gent-Wevelgem. This team also benefits you could say, from having a number of cards to play. Laporte as well, who was their card last year. They also have Olaf Coy involved, who rode very well at Bruca de Pana, finishing in second place. He's on really good form at the moment. He's a smart racer as well. Then looking down, similarly, Tim van Dijk has been looking good this season as well. And Nathan van Hooijdonk, who's just one of the best teammates in the world at the moment. Wow, wouldn't have won the 2021 edition of Geen Twijfel Game if it weren't for Nathan van Hooijdonk, let's not forget. So yeah, it's a strong team. They've been sort of podiuming every classic they've started this year. Everything kind of points towards another podium. I'm just not like mesmerized by the idea of Jumbo winning this. If they do, I think it'll be from Coy.
Yeah, after that opening weekend in the Belgium Classics, that was absolutely imperious.
But you can't do that in Geen Twijfel Game. You can't win solo. Yeah. Like that, where they've done it at Idri, yeah, you can do that tactic in Idri. You can do it in Omloop en Nieuwsblad. I was surprised they did it in Kerner, but that was also because they had sort of, it was a small group up in front and they had two guys there. That scenario could happen here, but I don't think Geen Twijfel Game is hard enough really to sort of do a three-man time trial between Coy, Van Aert, Van Hooijdonk, or whoever, for 35 kilometers from the Kemmelberg all the way to the end. I think that's going to be very, very difficult for them.
I mean, where to go next? There's so many teams. This could be an hour preview. Don't worry, it won't be. But yeah, Ewan, what about Quickstep? Sudal Quickstep. No Fabio Jakobsen in here, but Tim Merlier, who's been very, very good this year.
Tim Merlier's looked really, really good recently with a win at Nokere Corsa as well in sort of his home area. This is a part of the country he knows pretty well as well. You'd think Tim Merlier would be there, but he's quite unreliable on hilly profiles. Nokere Corsa was a bit of an anomaly maybe, because he's performed well at that race in the past, but Tim Merlier, it doesn't really shout sort of hilly classics guy. I think he would perform better on like a Bruca de Pana profile rather than a Geen Twijfel Game profile where there are quite a few hills. Yeah, there's some time to rest before the end, but just think a sprinter like Merlier is not quite hard enough, not quite hardy enough to be there at the end.
He was sixth last year though, so he finished second in that group behind,
it was a big group behind though.
It does
depend how the race is raced.
Yeah, true.
In terms of whether it's super hard, we get like a small group towards the end, but
the pressure is on Sudal Quickstep though, because they haven't been performing great this year.
Oh no, and they shot themselves in the foot at Bruca de Pana, also in this part of the country.
Yeah, exactly.
Where they weren't there, that they made a big blunder in their tactics and it all kind of went backwards from there. They do have a couple of good engines in this team that are on good form. Davide Ballerini rode a really good Bruca de Pana, as did Bert van Leerbergen, who I think is just such a sort of underrated helper and lead-up man. Also up here, Casper Pearson has been looking good in 2022, but no one here I don't think screams victor. And I don't think you can win Geen Twijfel Game solo. Watch it happen this year, but I'm not convinced you can win it solo, and none of these guys sort of scream victor to me. Maybe Casper Pearson could get a podium if it comes down to like a 6-10 man sprint, but there are just stronger guys who I think that could be in that final selection.
I mean, probably the last team we'll talk about before going into outsiders. Ineos Grenadiers, Ewan, I think with Filippo Ganna performing so well at Milan San Remo, they definitely are an interesting team to look at for this race.
Yes. On this kind of profile, I don't think it screams Ganna. San Remo doesn't scream Ganna, and he came in second place. So maybe he's just a hard racer to predict. But 35K out is that final hill. He could try to go solo and sort of rev everyone away. And if there's anybody who could go solo in this kind of race, you would say it would be Ganna. Also with them as well, Magnus Sheffield. Yeah.
Yeah, the same. Yeah, the kind of... It's going to be this kind of classics team that they're going to be the backbone of the classics team throughout the season now. So
I think Idri is probably where they're going to get a better result. But to be honest, Scott, I'm surprised you glazed over Trek Segafredo, given how strong their start list is for this race.
Okay, fine. We'll talk about them as well. Mats Pedersen doing very well at, of course, Milan San Remo recently, and in Paris-Nice as well. But Ewan, are you looking at them potentially playing their two cards that they play almost every single classic, Stuyven and Pedersen?
Also factor in Ed Turns as well.
Yeah.
He's been riding really good in the Belgium Classics recently. Yeah, the sort of minor races, but he'd be racing against the likes of Tim O'Leary and the Quickstep guys and the Lotto Destiny riders. And he's been performing to a high level there. And I think Pearson's won this race before. It's well within Pearson's means to be there. He does do well when it's like a reduced bunch sprint, which Wout doesn't do so well. So maybe I think Pearson in a selection could easily win this race. He's done it before. he could do it again. And I mean, Stuyven, he tried last year, he missed out. Maybe they just go all hands on deck on the Maspeus in front, because I think he's going to be stronger in Haynes Wavelhem than he will be in Idri. Focusing on this race instead of Idri could be a good use of resources. But similarly, Ed Turns as well could be a podium finisher that you weren't expecting. We see many rogue podium finishers at this race over the years. Remember the Dies van Hestel finish on the podium last year in this race? We've had Kuznetsov back in 2016. Betiol back in 2000. And we weren't like expecting that, like these kind of guys to finish right up there in a sprint. And it could happen again with Ed Turns.
But before we get to our favorite part of the show, Matej Morohic is a good outsider, I think, as well. Top 10 finisher. We spoke about Ghana. We have Gaviria has been looking... Well, again, it depends, as we've said, if it ends in the sprint. Arno Deli kind of wanted to focus on him, but he wasn't great at Milan San Remo. Caleb Ewan in the same team as well, so that should be funny to see that implode, potentially. Florian Vermeersch as well, one of your favorites, he's here. Former winner of the race as well, Alexander Kristoff. There's numerous former winners in here as well. We haven't even mentioned Greg Van Avermaet, but UAE Team Emirates, Milano has been looking good as well. Trentin, former podium finisher. So a whole host of different riders. So that makes it more interesting. Arnaud Démare as well. But yeah, Ewan, let's get to the favorite part of the show and probably one of the most unpredictable ones. Who is your podium for this year's Gent Wevelgem?
I think it's going to be a pretty hardy sprint. I think it's going to be quite similar to the 2021 edition, where we have like a group of maybe 10-15 sort of mix of rulers and hard guys, mix of ruler and strong riders, strong sprinters rather. And I think in that case, third place goes to Arnaud Démare of Groupama, who's been looking like really good this season, quite quietly. He's won this race before, but he's missing that sort of top level speed to make me imagine a victory for him. Second place goes to Olaf Coy, and the winner is Jasper Philipsen. But also notable shout out to Oliver Narsen, who I think is on really good form at the moment. Also quite under the radar.
I was going to pick Arnaud Deli, but I picked him for Milan San Remo, so that, yeah, unfortunately didn't help. I'm going to say it's going to be a very poetic finish. It's going to be Ghana third, why not? And then, that's not going to happen. Let's say Philipsen in third, and then Kristoff second for Uno X, and then Binyam Girmay retains his Gent Wevelgem title because nobody's looking at him because everyone's discounted him because of the form in Treno and Jasper Philipsen being so amazing and he catches everyone by surprise. This is a bit like you predicting Tadej Pogačar. So obviously I'm going to do it because I'm fanboying. Okay. But anyways, that's it for our podcast, or if you're watching on YouTube, our preview of Gent Wevelgem. And make sure to comment down below who you think is going to be winning the EU3 Saxo Bank Classic or whatever the name is, and Gent Wevelgem as well. And we will, of course, be on the live stream as well on the Cycling Dane, so make sure to tune in on Sunday. And as always, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and have a nice day.